Let's take a moment and bow together for prayer. Oh, our gracious God and Heavenly Father, familiar words, familiar songs, a familiar story, and yet this morning it's the amazing message of life and hope, of peace and of joy. You've given us so much of a cause to want to praise you. So we will not be silent. We will open our mouths. We will sing loudly. And for our song is one of mercy and of grace and of love. So thank you. Thank you for the wonder of Christmas. Thank you for the message of your redeeming grace, of your great love. And thank you for the blessings we've received as we shared these things together. Help us to know afresh this morning that God is with us, in us, around us, that in him we live and move and have our being. And such is your love that we can know that inexhaustible, that wonderful peace that surpasses all other human understanding. Now shut us in for this brief moment of time with yourself and help us to sense your presence, to hear your voice, to feel your touch upon our hearts and lives. Forgive us for sin and shortcoming, but draw us to yourself in these moments, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you listen to me read the scriptures from Matthew chapter 2? After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." And when King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he'd called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what is written by the prophet, 'But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, and out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly, found out from them the exact time when the star had appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child, and as soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." And after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. When you think of all the poverty that there was, milk cloths, that's what swaddling clothes were, milk cloths that had been used there in the barn. Nothing, no place in an inn, nothing. Rejection at his birth like there was at Calvary. And then the camels came. That's the story of the Magi. That's the camels coming. And on the camels, there's the treasures that'll take them down as refugees into Egypt and so on. That's not the morning message. That's just a thought. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. The camels are coming. We're moving into 2022. The camels are coming. The treasures are coming. God will touch us again. As we bow before him, we can look for the camels to come. Now let's get to the morning message. We've been talking about how Jesus Christ has come. It's a long way from Bethlehem to your home and my home. It's a long way from that manger in the stable to finding a place here, in this place, in our hearts, in our church. It's a long time since that first Christmas to this Christmas. And as new life came into the world then, it's important to realize that through this pandemic and through all the issues we have faced and are going to face, new life can come again. And it will be when there's simple faith in the hearts of men and women, just like you and just like myself. But I asked a question. How far was it to Bethlehem? Where is the one born King of the Jews? That's what the Magi asked. 6 miles, actually. That's the distance. How long does it take you to walk 6 miles? If we did that today, we start early in the morning, and probably by however slow we walk, at some part of the afternoon, early or later afternoon, we'd get there. And one of the most important events that the world has ever known took place in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is where you stayed on your way to the big city, not of London, but of Jerusalem, 6 miles away. And Bethlehem was where the small guest houses and small inns hosted the crowd of visitors. They're on their way to comply with the Roman edict to register for the census that was tied to taxes, a new tax that the Romans were establishing. And the amazing phenomena of that first Christmas night is that it heralded the birth of Jesus Christ. And it all took place in Bethlehem. And there's a rustic simplicity about the feeding trough, the manger. No room in the inn. Now, that's all been replaced. Mary and Joseph and this baby are in a house. What kind of house? We're never told. How do we know that? Well, you heard me read it. The Magi, we call them wise men who followed the star, they arrived in Jerusalem and they asked questions. Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star. We have come to worship him. Now, the local folk would have recognized that these particular visitors were, well, they're coming from some strange eastern land, probably Persia or Arabia or whatever it was. How many there were? We don't know. We imagine 3 because of the gifts. But there was probably a lot more. All we know is that they presented 3 specific gifts. Let me just remind you that for them, the journey has been long. It's been treacherous at times. And here they were now. Because the journey seems to have reached its destination in Jerusalem. Well, they were looking for a king. So if you want to find a king, you go to a palace. And of course, it was the palace of Herod. So Herod gets, he convenes a special meeting. He gets a group of his chief priests and scribes so they can advise him about the birth of this new king. Now, let me talk about this. Because here are some people who are living with us, who worship in our church and churches of our land, and they're intellectually lazy. They knew the location of the Messiah King. They knew where he would be born. They knew from a whole series of biblical passages that the Messiah King would be born of the seed of a woman, would be a Jew, would come from the tribe of Judah, would be a descendant of David, would be born in Bethlehem, and would be born to a virgin. Now let me remind you, so you remember who they were. They're the brightest, the best. They are the individuals who know everything that's in the Old Testament scriptures. They knew the Word of God. They loved it. They revered it. They learned it. They studied it extensively. They memorized it so they could quote it quite easily. Why didn't they go to Bethlehem? It's 6 miles away, that's all. Why didn't they go to check out what they knew? It meant they knew the location, but they were going to miss the incarnation of the Lord Jesus. They know too much. They debated ideas, and yet they doubted the deity of Christ all of their lives. And inevitably, about 30-odd years from now, they will put him on a cross. They knew it. Here. In the head. Intellectually. But they're lazy. They're lazy. They don't go and check it out. Why do I draw your attention to that? Because that's where I'm living. So many people are like them now. They're out there. Most people will agree that Jesus was a good man. Many will say, he must have been a great teacher. Look at the Sermon on the Mount. Look at the Beatitudes. Look at the things that he taught. They will agree, this Jesus has a wonderful philosophy for life. And even go into Islam, because the Muslims accept that he was a prophet. But they're intellectually lazy. And they've never taken the 6 mile step to go to Bethlehem. And you and I and our church has to minister to that kind of world that will never make the next step. I think it's more than that. I think they were spiritually indifferent. The answer to Herod's question immediately took them all the way back to the book of Micah. To Micah chapter 5 and verse 2. Andrew read it for you at the carol service. They found a biblical answer, but they didn't apply it to their life. And I live where people, it's so sad, they know about Bible truths, and yet they ignore the implications. They keep the rules, but they keep Jesus at arm's length. You can't know the blessing, the peace, the forgiveness, the salvation by just knowing the Christmas story. You've got to go 6 miles and bow your knee before the babe of Bethlehem. And this scene is frozen in time to remind us and to remind men and women, to remind our nation, to remind our world what men do over and over and over again is never find room for Jesus. It's a failure to recognize that here in this amazing Christmas story, God is doing something very special. God is telling us that he loves us so that anyone can approach him. It's God lying in a manger, a statement to remind us you don't ever need to be alone, because the baby becomes the one that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go where you go. I'll be there for whatever situation in your life. And we don't take the journey 6 miles to Bethlehem to bow the knee. And I think it's more than that. I think it's insensitive. Culturally insensitive. And here we are arguing about racism and culture and cancelling out and wokeism and whatever you want to talk about. You see, these folk look different, they talk different, they dress different. They weren't around from here, these magi. They'd just seen a star. They'd come to see a baby king. Who are you? Can you imagine them? Scribes, the experts. And Herod sitting on his throne. Who are you? And it's a reaction that still occurs today. Who are you to tell us? Who are you? Get on with your church. Get on with being what you are. The pastor, the preacher, whatever you want to call yourself. Get on with it. Who are you to tell us? And we got all this whirling around us. And here they are. They know. This is the saddest thing. If you read in verse 6, they know that he will be a ruler, a governor who shall rule my people Israel. Yet they wouldn't allow him to rule themselves. It's only 6 miles. Go from Jerusalem to Bethlehem. And why didn't they go? Were they scared? This man who's sitting on the throne behind them, Herod. Were they scared of losing Herod's favor? Was it a risk? Were they only rumors about what had happened in Bethlehem? Were the rumors false? What, that shepherd? Did you know any of their names? No, just a bunch of shepherds. What they kept saying things. Was that true? True. So what did they do? They just carried on with their own routines. It's possible, dreadfully possible, to know a great deal here and be insensitive here and miss the truth. Come, thou long-expected Jesus. But they haven't gone the 6 miles. Born to set your people free. 6 miles. 6 miles to go. Oh, come all ye faithful. Yes, come on, 6 miles to go. Oh, come, let us adore him. Yes, come. It's 6 miles. That's all it is. So the ultimate question is not how somebody else responds, but how we respond. You see, Herod is hostile. The scribes will be too busy. The Magi will worship him as Savior and Lord and then go about their business. And I hope this morning, mentally and intellectually and spiritually, right where you sit, you take the 6 miles journey. Are you almost there? Almost there, look. Can you see it? It's just, yes, that's the inn. That's the inn where there was no room. It's just at the back of that. Go on, go on. That's the end of your 6 miles. Because we cannot escape Jesus. He has a tremendous effect upon everyone who encounters him. That's why the angels sang about him. That's why he is still the theme of some of the greatest music that's ever written. And those opening words, glory to God. Hey, just a minute. Let me go up to the temple. There's an old man just like me. Did he walk in with difficulty? It's Simon. And they bring in the baby, Jesus, for the ritual of being a Jewish boy. And he holds that baby. He holds that. And he says, this is what I've been waiting for. And he realizes this is the one who will bring comfort and blessing to a whole wide world. And then there's an old lady, she's come in. Anna is her name. And Anna says, you know what? I was waiting for hope. I was waiting for an answer. I was waiting to know how forgiveness could come to our lives. You know what happened when they all got to Bethlehem? The shepherds were thrilled. They marveled. And it made them do something else. They went out of the fields to the manger. They finished the journey. And there, they were not marvelous, but movers now. And then in the end of it all, they were messengers. 6 miles. I've asked you to travel it with me in your head, in your mind, in your spirit. 6 miles. So when I close this service, it will be with each of us at Bethlehem, marveling and then becoming messengers that we have met the Christ of Christmas. He touched our hearts again to transform our lives for whatever 2022 holds for us. 6 miles. That's all it took. And because they were lazy, and because they were insensitive, and because they were indifferent, they missed it. But not the Magi. And when the Magi came, the camels came as well. Take, Lord, what we have to offer. And take us into the year that's to come, knowing that we have met with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is God with us and in us and for us and around us and with us, and goes on our way, taking us to where he wants us to be. Grant your blessing on the folk here. Commit each one of them to you. And thank you for their friendship and fellowship in the gospel. May it be, as we draw this year to its close, that they will be truly blessed of you. And as we meet again next weekend to start afresh, to know that we go where you go, do what you want us to do, be what you want us to be, because we have met the King at Bethlehem. Amen.